And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Didn't I see you like 20-something hours ago, Lisa Wolf?
It feels like just about 5 minutes ago, Carl.
Jeez.
Sheesh.
Gosh, everywhere I go, it's Lisa Wolf.
I keep following you around.
Man, oh man.
No, I'll have to think about this.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, program 141 in the series. This is December 18th, and it's our Christmas show.
It's still our Christmas show.
Yeah.
It was our Christmas show yesterday, and this morning, and now again tonight.
Right, here we go. More Christmas shows. We're going to start things off with a tale well calculated to keep us in suspense, with Christmas for Carol starring Dennis Day. Then it's the Milton Berle Christmas show. And then Tales of the Texas Rangers, a Christmas show from 1950, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming TV series Big Hero 6, which will take place after the events of Disney's 2014 film, Big Hero 6. And the winner will get a Christmas package, which includes a Lightkeeper Pro and a Scent Keeper.
I didn't say hi to Aleph Garris, our producer. Hi, Aleph. How are you?
Hi. It's okay. All is forgiven.
Okay. Very good. I'm
hi,
forgiven.
Aleph.
Hi, Aleph.
Hi.
All right. So they win a Lightkeeper Pro and a what?
And a Scent Keeper. It's a whole Christmas package.
All right. Sounds
all right.
Good. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. This actress was one of the co-stars of Bridesmaids.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man.
All right. Total catch.
I was she talking about you.
Oh, well. No, I don't want a man.
Oh, yeah. I meant you as
definitely
the,
don't
you
want
as the total catch.
Oh, okay. I'm the one going after her. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are back and playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You're a total catch, and any guy would be psyched to be your man.
Any guy would be psyched to be your man, Lisa.
Oh, total catch.
Your man.
Let's talk to Marco from Chicago. Hi, Marco.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing fine and dandy.
Good. Who is that amazing actress we hear?
The lady from Saturday Night Live, Miss Maya Rudolph.
Indeed, it is Maya Rudolph, and you are a winner. We are so excited to give you the Christmas package. It includes a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing holiday light sets, and a Scent Keeper for a real Christmas tree scent on your artificial tree. Visit LightkeeperPro.com. Thanks so much for calling in. We hope you'll stay with us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
It was Maya Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
I was going to say, it's too cold to be outside.
Had a very shiny nose.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Let's not go there.
Okay, good.
Let's bring
your nose is looking kind of shiny over there.
Yeah. let's leave the singing to professional singers.
Good.
And leave the classic radio presentation to you and I.
That's good.
And Aleph. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
Sounds like a really good idea, right? All right, so the first show we're going to play, it's a Christmas show, Suspense. Suspense was that we play a lot of suspense here because it really was one of the best, if not the best, radio series of all time. Started in 1942, lasted all the way to 1962. It was on the air that whole time, other than, you know, like a break in the summer and things. It was billed as radio's outstanding theater thrills. It was suspenseful thrillers with the biggest names in Hollywood. They all wanted to be on Suspense, Lisa.
I know. I wanted to be on it, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, Dennis Day, who, of course, was with was the singer for Jack Benny for years, and he had his own radio show. Dennis Day stars in Christmas for Carol. This is going back to December 21st, 1950. Here's part one of a tale well calculated to keep us in suspense.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Christmas for Carol, a suspense play starring Mr. Dennis Day. And now, with Christmas for Carol and the performance of Dennis Day, Autolite hopes once again to keep you in suspense.
It was dark and silent. The window in the house glinted a little from the Christmas tree lights. Rocky didn't move. He just stood there in the alley, but I wanted to run. Fast, get away and put it behind me.
Just a second.
We got the money, Rocky. What are we hanging around for? Come on, let's get out of here.
I said we wait for the old couple to get back.
What for? Why take chances now?
We got some money. How do we know it's all of it? Maybe they split it and put it in two places. We'll wait here and watch for them when they come in. They'll tip it.
It was $8,000. That's what he withdrew.
You asked for this, kid. Now do as you're told. We wait.
I couldn't help being scared. This was my first job, my first and last. I just wanted that money. I wanted it fast and short, and I wanted to run away from it and forget it. The one shot. That's why I got hold of Rocky Perea. Lucky. I had to be lucky just this once. For Carol, not for me. It was for Carol. Nothing else I cared about, see? It didn't seem possible now that 3 days ago I hadn't known Rocky, hadn't needed him. What is it, Doctor? How about the baby?
Your wife must remain in bed.
Serious?
No, not serious, but she's got to stay flat on her back. A nurse. You should have a nurse with her all the time.
Oh, but it's 2 months away, Doctor.
It's just a question of keeping her relaxed and quiet, not letting her do any work around the house, lift things, or even walk.
Okay, Doctor. And she'll be all right?
There's one other thing. She was quite worried when I told her about the nurse. I got the feeling she's well afraid to have the baby.
Afraid?
Not for herself. I can't put my finger on it, but it's having a detrimental effect on her condition, and
I know what it is, Doctor. Money.
Oh, I see. Well, it might not be easy finding a nurse. Only 4 days till Christmas.
I'll get one, Doctor. Thanks.
I'll call you this evening.
Yeah. Thanks again, Doctor.
Paul?
Sweetheart, it'll be all right. I'm going to get the nurse to take care of you.
I'll be able to get up and around in a day or two.
Not if you want that, son. The doc said everything will be all right if you take it easy, and you're going to take it easy.
But a nurse...
Look, I've got to get back to the bank. I'm only on my lunch hour, sweetheart. I'll make a few calls from there, and tonight we'll pick out the nurse.
How much do they charge?
What's the difference?
How much, Paul? It's a lot of money, I know.
50, 60 a week. We'll make out all right now. There's nothing to worry about.
Oh, Paul... This was going to be a happy Christmas now.
Yeah, a happy Christmas in this dump.
It's funny, Paul. $50 a week for a nurse for another 2 months. It's funny. You make $48.50 at the bank. We'll have to pay the nurse more money than you earn.
Yeah, more money than I earn. You know how it is being a bank teller? Feeling, seeing, handling money, taking in money, paying it out. When I went back to work, I was seeing it for the first time with something more than a detached feeling. Thinking, I need this money, I need this money, I need this money. How I need this money. For Carol and the baby. It was almost 3 o'clock when Eddie the bookie came in.
Hi, Paul. Good day yesterday. And big action in a few days. San Anita opens.
Yeah. People like to throw their money away.
They throw it, I catch it.
Eddie, could I see you later?
You ready to make a deal?
I want to talk to you.
What time you through?
5 o'clock.
Meet you outside at 5 o'clock.
Eddie Garth, bookie. He quit school in the 7th grade. I held out and went through college. And all these years, he's tried to get me to go in with him, to run his office, do the bookwork. He was waiting for me when I finished work. We went to a coffee shop and sat down. And all around us, the loudspeakers reminding me what a happy Christmas it was.
Hush, Carol, Paul.
Not so good, Eddie. That's what I want to talk to you about.
Nah, no more loans, Paul. You need money? Come with me.
Don't you ever give up.
What's so good at the bank? $25 for a Christmas bonus?
Look, Eddie.
Come in with me now. With Santa Anita opening. I could work the outside, get new accounts.
Eddie.
And I'll give you 10% of those accounts, Paul. But I won't lend you the money. I'd be a sucker to lend it to you. I'll give it to you if you come in, but I won't lend you anymore.
Okay, Eddie. Forget it. I'll get it some other way.
I don't get it. What's wrong with my deal?
Look, Eddie, how many times have you been rousted by the vice squad?
Plenty. Well,
and every time they book you and they fingerprint you and take your picture.
So what? They never have anything on me.
It's on your record, Eddie, as long as you live.
Ah.
Sure, I need money. Maybe I'm getting close to the time when I'm not too choosy about the way I get it. But it won't be your way.
What? What are you talking about?
If I ever break the law, it's going to be with the right guy and it's going to be the right job.
Are you dreaming, Paul? You'll still be in that cage 10 years from now.
I'd hit and run. One job with enough out of it to make it worthwhile. That's the way it'll be, Eddie. A one shot.
There is no such thing, Paul. You do something like that, you're stuck in it. And you're worse off than if you came with me. Think about it, Paul.
Go home then and fix dinner for Carol, all the time thinking of the money and Carol and the baby and debts. The worry eating at me and thinking about what I'd said to Eddie. Then the next morning, old man Forbes made a withdrawal. The first he'd ever made.
Hiya, son.
What? Oh, hello, Mr. Forbes.
I'm going to miss you, son. Seems like we're good friends after all these years.
Miss me?
Take a look at the slip.
That's a lot of money.
12 years hard work. That's what that money means.
But you're taking it all out?
Yeah, and I quit my job today.
Quit your job?
Ada and me, we've been waiting a long time for this Christmas. We're moving out of the city.
Oh?
We've had our eye on a little farm. Now we can buy it. You've got the papers drawn up.
Then you're leaving right away?
About a week. But Ada don't know yet. I'm going to surprise her. Kind of a Christmas present.
But it's not safe to keep so much cash on you, especially...
Well, I've got a perfect place to hide it, son. No one would think to look there. Besides, I figure I've worked too hard and too long to lose it now. Oh, no, son. It wouldn't happen. Wouldn't seem right, son.
It stayed with me and it grew. Like a wheel spinning, gaining momentum. This could be the right job. $8,000, enough for that single shot. It stayed with me, all the time growing, growing.
Yeah, lunch is on me, Paul, if you change your mind.
No, I called you, Eddie, because I need your help.
What kind of help?
Well, you can arrange for me to talk to someone.
Maybe. Who is it?
Rocky Perea.
Rocky Perea? Are you kidding? You picked yourself the right guy, all right. The cops don't even know what he looks like. They never mugged him or printed him.
Yes, Eddie, that's right.
You're crazy, I tell you. 1 million people want to talk to Rocky Perea, including the cops. No. No, Paul, I can't touch it.
You can, Eddie, if you wanted to bad enough. Please, Eddie.
All right. I'll see what I can do. Maybe I do know someone.
And, Eddie, it's got to be soon.
You know you'll be taking a chance. It better be good.
It is, Eddie. Good enough to take the chance for. That was 2 days ago. And this morning, Eddie came through. A certain friend, Rocky's only outside contact, told him to keep an eye on a house on Hoover Street. Eddie gave me all the dope. What Rocky looked like, how he'd act, what to expect. And early this evening, I told Carol I was going out for a while, that I'd borrow the money from Eddie, and we wouldn't have to worry about paying it back for a while. That's what I told her, but that wasn't the answer. The answer was at the house on Hoover with Rocky Perea. I waited there, hidden in the dark corner behind the incinerator. I kept thinking, making excuses. It wasn't up to me anymore. There wasn't any other choice. I needed money desperately. I needed help to get the money. I waited more than an hour, and then I heard footsteps come up the alley. He stopped before the open patch of light, just like Eddie told me. He was careful,
very careful, making sure no one was staking him. I took a deep breath and hitched my weight forward. I was going to cut across the open for the back door. I remember thinking, now, do it for Carol, for the rotten, miserable Christmas. Do it now. Rocky! He froze for a split second, and almost faster than I could see, he ducked into a shadow and spun around. The streetlight didn't touch him. It glinted on something metallic in his hand, and even from where I was standing, I could see he had a gun pointed at me.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Dennis Day in Christmas for Carol. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Are you scared, Lisa?
I'm always scared when I'm here.
You're scary.
No, I'm scared to be with you.
Suspense. I don't blame you.
I know.
Christmas for Carol, December 21st, 1950, starring Dennis Day. That's part one. We'll have part two in just a few minutes. But first, these words. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf to my right, Ella Garris in the booth there. We're here every Saturday and Sunday, 11 p.m., until 2 o'clock in the morning. I usually get here around 10. Lisa gets here about 10:59 and 37 seconds.
Well, that's the way to do it. Just in the nick of time.
Just right here like the Lone Ranger. Nick of time. Right?
Right.
Batman and Robin.
That's right.
I'm here and you just... I'm
just
all prepared.
Right
Lisa
in.
Just... Okay. Get out of my way. Let's
That's
go.
Right.
Start the show.
That's how I'm pretty much how I always am. Just get out of
Just
my
get
way.
Just get out of my way, everybody. Yeah. All right. We're listening to Suspense, Christmas for Carol. Here's the conclusion now, starring Dennis Day.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Dennis Day in Elliot Lewis's production of Christmas for Carol, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Rocky, don't shoot. It was a good thing I'd said it. His gun was aiming front and center. He crouched there looking at me, his eyes flat and hard, then his voice deep and tight and deadly.
Who are you?
I'm not a cop, Rocky.
Come close so I can see you better.
Sure, Rocky. I just want to talk to you.
You call me Rocky. You been talking to anyone?
I've been watching you. I know you're Rocky Perea.
You've been watching me. What for?
You're wanted, Rocky, and you need money.
Who are you? Where'd you come from?
That doesn't matter, Rocky. This is a business deal. I figured it out very carefully. You need money, well, so do I. And I got a way to get it.
Just like that, eh?
And, Rocky, I'm not staying. This is a one-shot deal.
A one-shot? There's no such thing.
That's the way it's got to be. We do this job together, and we're through. We never see each other again.
I sure ain't gonna go looking for you. But you won't quit. Not if it comes off easy.
I'll quit, Rocky.
What's in this for me?
Half. $4,000.
Huh. Well, kid, you ain't dumb by any means, staking me out like this. Almost smart enough to be a copper. You got guts, too. Tell me you got a family?
There's no one to stop me. I have a job that doesn't pay enough. This'll raise my salary.
You want this one haul, and it's back to your job, eh?
Yeah. Is it a deal?
What's the job?
I have a car. I'll tell you on the way. If you go for it, okay. If not... we forget the whole thing.
Okay, kid. I'll listen to it. Let's go driving.
I told him what I'd planned and why I needed him, and he agreed to come with me. We drove to the Forbes' house. It was a small and old house, just big enough for the two of them. I drove down to the corner and parked, and we started back.
Lucky there's no one on the street. Let's go up the alley.
Yeah, Rocky. There's the back door. Look, no lights. They're not home.
That makes it a cinch. Okay, go on, take it. It's your baby.
Rocky, I'll have to break a window.
Yeah. You want me to hold your hand?
I'll wrap my jacket around my fist. That'll keep the noise down.
Why don't you write me a book?
Okay, I'm going. I was lucky. The side of the house was hidden from the street by a big tree. And there was light to see with from the Christmas tree in the living room. I wrapped the jacket around my knuckles, and while the short, sharp jab broke through the window, it sounded like a cannon. The street being so quiet before, I was scared it would rouse the whole neighborhood. But like I said, I was lucky. I scrambled up the sill and dropped into the living room. I was pretty clumsy. I pulled out drawers, looked behind pictures, under cushions. I went in the kitchen and poked around the cabinets. I looked in the cookie jar and I found a rolled up wad of bills. It was money, all right, but only $40, the old lady's secret treasure. I put it back and went into the living room again. Looking around, nervous, I stumbled on the Christmas tree and knocked it over. And then I remembered what the old man had said. A Christmas present for his wife. And I knew it was somewhere on that tree. There were Christmas stockings and favors and little red boots in and around the tinsel and the lighted bulbs. And I found the $8,000 hidden deep in one of the stockings. Got it, Rocky.
Let me see it.
It's there, Rocky. It's all there.
Yeah, $8,000. I guess I'll hold it.
Come on, let's go.
Take it easy. We're going to stick around for a while.
Stick around? What for?
And we got some money. How do we know it's all of it? Maybe they split it and put it in two places. We'll wait here and watch when they come in. They'll tip it.
It was $8,000. That's what he withdrew.
You asked for this, kid. Now do as you're told. We wait.
I couldn't help being scared. My first job. My first and last. A one shot. I wanted to get away fast, run and put it behind me. But Rocky just stood there, like he didn't have a worry in the world.
Listen, kid. They're ringing for us. They're wishing us a Merry Christmas. Wait. There they are. They're unlocking the door.
You know, Harvey, the Christmas services were so beautiful.
Sure were. This year in particular.
Harvey.
Huh?
Look, the tree. Someone's been in here. A burglar.
Burglar?
Oh, my cookie jar. I've got my house money hidden there.
The old lady ran to the kitchen, but Forbes knew where to look, and he knew it was gone. Rocky was grinning, his face lit up like floodlights. Let's go, Rocky. We've seen enough.
No, no, hold on a minute.
It's all here, Harvey. I wonder what he was after.
Ada, it's gone. All the money.
All what money?
$8,000. I took it all out of the bank. Ada, I quit my job. It was going to be a surprise.
No.
Every penny we had in the world.
Oh, Harvey. All that money.
No. It'll be all right, Ada.
Oh, 12 years you've worked so we could have something.
Well, I can keep on working, Ada. I'll do it all over again.
Oh, you can't work anymore. The doctor. Oh, what's a person to believe? You work so hard and we do without things for 12 long years. And for what? In 1 minute, some good-for-nothing hoodlum takes it all away from us.
I looked at Rocky standing there next to me, his face split by that grin. It was funny to him, something to laugh about, to gloat over. That's why he'd stayed. Suddenly, I knew I couldn't go through with it. Me, the guy who needed the money so bad, the guy with the bright one-shot idea.
Quite a show, eh, kid? Come on, let's go.
He moved off a few steps, but I just stood there, knowing what I was going to do.
Come on, I said, let's go.
Knowing what I was going to do. No. No, Rocky, we're not going.
Huh?
I said we're not going, and neither is the money.
What's that?
Don't, Rocky. I've got a gun, too.
And what's got into you?
I'm going to give that money back, Rocky. I can't stomach this.
Give it back? You're crazy.
No, Rocky, I just didn't see deep enough. Old people like this.
This was your idea. I ain't responsible for it.
I know, Rocky, but I can make it right.
Suppose I don't give you the money.
Then I'll kill you, Rocky.
Okay, kid. You got the gun.
He gave me the money, all the hate showing in his eyes. I turned, started for the house. I gave him my back for a target, but he didn't use it. I knocked on the door.
Yes, who? Paul, from the bank.
I just had a fight with a guy, Mr. Forbes. Saw him jump from your window. I chased after him.
Our window?
You saw him?
Yes, ma'am. I was walking past. I kind of figured he'd just finished robbing you.
Well, did you catch him?
Well, I couldn't hold on to him. He broke away, but not before I got this.
Why, Harvey, the money.
Yes.
Oh, Paul, bless you.
Oh, forget it. I'm only sorry I couldn't hold him.
You say you fought with this burglar?
Yes, he broke away before...
We want to thank you, Paul.
Forget it. I'll be going now.
Oh, wait, Paul, we want to give you a reward.
Oh, no, I don't want a reward. I'll have to be going.
I stopped there on the porch for a minute, afraid to go back to Rocky. Suddenly, terribly afraid of what he'd do to me. The old couple were still talking, loud, like old people do.
Yes, it all happened so fast.
I'd always wonder about that boy. What made him bring the money back?
He's honest, Ada. I know him from the bank.
Oh, fiddlesticks, Harvey. He didn't fight with anyone.
What do you mean, Ada?
Well, his clothes, by the whole story he told us. Your young friend took the money in the first place.
Ada, I believe you're right.
Of course I'm right. Now, what on earth made him change his mind like that?
It's Christmas, Ada. Merry Christmas.
She'd known. The old lady had known all along. And it didn't make any difference. Wait, she'd offered, even offered to give me a reward. Suddenly, I felt something strange, like being clean inside. Like being able to see something that wasn't there before. And the tightness, the fear, eased a little.
Now, let's go, kid. The car.
Rocky.
You did what you wanted. You just forgot that half of that money was mine. Now move. Get it moving. What was it you said? You need me, Rocky. You're hot.
Rocky, I made a mistake.
I want to team up with you, Rocky. You need money. I got away.
I was wrong.
Maybe the next job you won't get soft in the head.
There's not going to be a next one, Rocky. I'm through.
Through? You think I spent Christmas Eve with you because I like you? I'm out $4,000, kid.
I'm sorry, Rocky, but there's not going to be a next time.
You think so, huh? Stop the car.
All right. But I'll never see it different, Rocky. I found out tonight. If it's not these old people, then it's someone else taking it just as hard.
You sure? You sure it's not Christmas doing this?
I'm sure. It's not for me, Rocky.
Huh. You know, I'm kind of glad it turned out this way.
You what?
Well, you're through, ain't you? You're going back to your job.
Yeah, Rocky, sure.
Good. And I figured it right.
What?
I didn't think you'd go through with it.
Say, wait a minute.
Yeah?
You're not Rocky Perea.
I said you were a smart kid.
But the way you acted, so careful, sneaking in the alley and... Say, who are you?
Weissman's the name. Police Lieutenant Richard Weissman, gangster squad.
You're a cop? But where's Rocky?
We picked him up this afternoon, kid. He had a couple of guys working with him, and I thought maybe you were one of them. Now I know different.
Cop.
I don't expect I'll run into you again, kid. So take care of yourself. And Merry Christmas.
Lucky. All the breaks. But I was no better off than this morning. There was still money, 2 months paying the nurse. There was still the worry for Carol.
Oh, Mr. Shane, we've been expecting you. Congratulations.
Doctor, what's the matter? Why? Oh,
nothing's wrong. Quite the contrary. Your wife just had a baby.
Baby? Carol?
Oh, she's perfectly all right. So is your daughter.
Carol. Oh, Carol, darling. Are you all right?
Hello, sweetheart. I'm fine.
Carol is...
We won't have to borrow the money now, Paul. It's turned out for the best after all.
Oh, darling.
And it always will, my dear. We have so much, you and I. We have each other. And now we've got a daughter. A fine, healthy little girl. The rest will come, Paul. Let's live the day we have. Your little girl's over there, Paul. Tell her we're very, very happy she's in the family. And wish her a Merry Christmas.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Look, Carol, look. She's smiling.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Dennis Day. Next week on Suspense, Mr. Cornell Wilde, a star of A Ring for Marya. And in weeks to come, you will hear such famous stars as Mickey Rooney, Ginger Rogers, Eve Arden, and Ezio Pinza, all appearing in tales well calculated to keep you in suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Christmas for Carol was written for Suspense by David Friedman. Dennis Day appears through arrangement with Colgate Palmolive Peat Company and may be heard on his own program, A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. And remember, next week on Suspense, Mr. Cornell Wilde in A Ring for Marya.
That's Suspense, December 21st, 1950, Christmas for Carol, starring Dennis Day. Let's take a break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa's got a big smile on her face. Look at that. Look how big her smile is.
Well, Carl, you just
make me smile.
That's
why your dimples are so deep. She's got giant,
too much smiling, right?
Deep dimples.
Should I share with everybody what I was told the first time when I first started radio with you, like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, we started working on radio together, and that was my, you know, beginning of my radio career, and our producer called me into the booth and said that I really should not smile so much because it comes across when I'm talking, and I really should not smile when I talk on the radio. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, yeah, right.
Which makes absolutely no sense. First of all, nobody could see you smiling on the radio. Number one.
Yeah, but he was saying it comes across, but why is that a bad thing? I do not know.
The whole reason why I wanted you to be the co-host of the show, I mean, not the whole reason.
That's it, just because I smile?
I take that back. Not the whole reason, because you have many, many reasons.
Good,
you know,
good.
Because you're smart, and you're witty, and you're funny, and you're a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why I wanted you to be my co-host is because your voice sounds like it's smiling. And that's, I like that about you.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to be here. So
because
that
really
comes across.
You really do love being on the radio.
I really do.
Lisa, like, loves being on the radio.
As soon as we go on, I get this, like, rush of excitement.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
So this guy, it's like these actors.
Guy.
You know, actors, they always have met a casting director or something that said, you'll never make it
you'll
in this
never
business.
Make it.
That's kind of, that was your casting director.
Well, this was not at WGN, just to be clear.
Right.
So,
no, this was 10 years
this
ago.
This is at a different station.
Yeah. This was 10 years ago when you were like 75, 80.
When I was, it was about my 75th birthday, I think.
Yeah, something like that. When you started in radio.
When I began in radio at 75.
All right, so this hour, it's the Milton Berle Show, Christmas show from 1947. In our next hour, Tales of the Texas Rangers, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as the villain in the upcoming TV series, The Defenders, part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And the winner gets a Chicago Holiday Classic DVD presented by the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It features Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe.
I'm Hard Rock. I'm Coco. I'm Joe.
Susie Snowflake and Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, who wouldn't want that DVD?
I don't know.
Of course, I don't have a DVD player in my house anymore.
I don't either.
I don't have a DVD player.
I don't either.
I stream everything.
I don't have a DVD player either.
Wow.
Either.
Yeah. All right. So the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the owner of the surrogate agency in Baby Mama.
Angie, bottom line, you're Karen Kate's baby. And you do want to get paid, right?
All right. So this owner was the surrogate agency. She was the owner of the agency in Baby Mama. And she's been in a lot of movies.
Oh, yes.
Great actress. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. We'll find our winner after these words.
Welcome back to WGN Radio Theater. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it one more time.
Angie, bottom line, you're Karen Kate's baby. And you do want to get paid, right?
She was the surrogate agency owner in Baby Mama. Who is
she? She was, and we took a caller offline. Actually, Elif did. Thank you, Elif. The answer is Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
And I honestly did not remember that she was in Baby Mama, although I love that movie. I did not remember that Sigourney Weaver was in it. In any event, Mark from Buffalo Grove is our winner, and he knew that it was Sigourney Weaver. So Mark will win the Chicago Holiday Classics DVD. It is presented by the Museum of Broadcast Communications just down the street here. It's a wonderful museum. It features Hard Rock, Coco,
North
and
State.
Joe, Susie Snowflake, and Frosty the Snowman, all digitally remastered, and you can get your copy at museum.tv.
You're digitally remastered.
I think I'd like to be. I kind of remaster a few things.
All right, it's time now for the Milton Berle Show. And he was, of course, a comedian who started in vaudeville, moved to radio, and became known as Uncle Milty on television. He was born Milton Berlinger in New York City in 1908. He began his career impersonating Charlie Chaplin, which landed him in a couple of silent films. And then he hit the vaudeville circuit. And then radio started in 1934, lasted until the 1940s. His Texaco Star Theater TV show debuted in 1948, made him a huge comedy star. Then Buick became his sponsor in 1953, and his TV show lasted till 1955. From 1955 until his death, he was a headliner in Las Vegas. You could go to Las Vegas and see Milton Berle performing. And I licensed his radio shows, got to meet him a few times. George Burns actually helped introduce me to Milton Berle.
Yeah, George Burns was your
he was
introduction
he was
to
great.
A lot of people.
He did. He helped me meet a lot of people. And Jerry Lewis is another one. And of course, Milton Berle. All right, let's tune this in. This goes back to December 23rd, 1947, part one of a Christmas episode of The Milton Berle Show.
The Milton Berle Show. From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show with Pert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Al Kelly, Johnny Gibson, Billy Sands, Charlie Irving, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Gallup. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the week when Santa Claus pays us a visit with his familiar old bag of gifts. We now bring you a comedian who visits you every week with his bag of familiar old jokes. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Who we got
got out front. Whistler's mother? Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And what a day, Mr. Gallup. I had Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping. That's American for buying something someplace for somebody who somehow buys you the same thing for the same price on the same day in the same store. Mr. Gallup, I got all my presents but one. I still don't know what to get the sponsor. You know, I want to get the sponsor something he'd like better than anything in the world.
Get him Bob Hope.
Bob Hope. Mr. Gallup, it's Christmas. Presents. Oodles of goody for good little announces. Watch your P's and Q's, Mr. G. When the old year goes, you wouldn't want to go with it, would you? Would you?
Burl, I hope you haven't succumbed to this sentimental foolishness and bought me a gift.
Sentimental foolishness? So that's the thanks that you get for trying to do something warm and friendly in the Christmas spirit. Sentimental foolishness.
Then you did get me a present?
No. I just can't seem. I drove over in a Studebaker. I just can't. Don't applaud. It's Christmas. If you want to give me a present, not applaud. I just can't seem to find anything for you, Mr. Gallup. I really can't. I wanted to get you something for lying around the house.
Lounging pajamas?
No, a slab. Okay, then, Mr. Gallup, since there's nothing you want me to get you, at least let me shake your hand.
Shake my hand?
Yes.
Oh, in that case, there is something you can get me.
What?
A rubber glove.
Oh, that's jazzy. A rubber glove. Rubber glove. See, this is going to be a good year. Good year. Oh, brother. I bet tomorrow Lionel Barrymore will get more laughs as Scrooge. Remember? More laughs as Scrooge. That girl can't walk out on the broadcast. Don't let her out. We need them all in here tonight. Mr. Gallup. Walking out on the show. Mr. Gallup. Changing the subject, or getting back to the subject of Christmas, you're coming over to my house Christmas Eve, aren't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Burl, I can't make it.
But you promised. You promised, Mr. Gallup. Oh, James. Skelton, I'm kidding. I was banking on you to be Santa Claus.
Santa Claus?
Yes, Mr. Gallup. We have no fireplace, and you're the only one I know that's thin enough to come down through the hot water pipe. Hot water pipe. That's what I get for telling an original joke. It won't happen again tonight, so on with our Christmas show. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship... Thank you. That's all. Thank you. When peace and good fellowship... That's enough with the bells. Thank you. It's over. Thank you. Peace and good fellowship... Knock off! Peace and... Okay. Christmas, when peace and good fellowship... reign supreme. Today, people can think of nothing but Christmas. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored by an account of... Don't go away. I'll read it again. But does anyone ever give a thought to another holiday which is always ignored because of Christmas? December 21st, the shortest day of the year? Let us pause as we pay tribute to this day. Ladies and gentlemen, a salute to December 21st, the shortest day in the year. Thank you. On with our Christmas show. Ladies and gentlemen, no Christmas program is complete without that famous poem, The Night Before Christmas, as read by America's most beloved poet, who is with us tonight, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ralph Waldo Finster, in a reading of Clement Seymour's The Night Before Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the calm, not a creature was stirring, Not even a grizzly face. When out on the shrubnet there arose such a slaver, I sprang from my Clyde to see what was snubbed a beside. When what to my wandering bloom should a croppers but a miniature slimy and eight tiny castanets. With a little old man so lively and flow, I knew in a moment it must be Sam Krause. More rapid than dribbles or his cloudlies they came, and he whistled and banistrated and called them by name. Ho, Dasher! Ho, Dancer! Ho, Schmalman! Ho, Snoobelbein! On Comet! On Nibbet! On Umblick and Scudderwatt! He was dressed all in chorus, from his crop to his mind, and his clothes were all covered with epis and tries. He had a broad face and a little round crowbin that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of pucha. He sprang to his seat and to his team gave a knock, and away they all flew like the cry on the blinding. But I heard him exclaim as he ladled his bridle, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a bridal didle."
Mr. Finster has asked me to announce that if you wish a copy of the poem you've just heard, write him care of Violence Inn on the second floor. Ask for Mr. MacMahon Hussain. And if he's not there, Charlie Corydon will find you. Mr. Gallup, remember those Christmases when we were young? It was such a problem getting a gift for that one and only girl. You used to say to her, "Darling, I don't know what to get you, because you've got everything, everything I'm wild about. You've got everything, everything I've dreamed about." Cynthia. Yes, Cynthia, you had everything, but it was just in the wrong places. Grady and Cynthia, your face reminded me of the son of Frankenstein. It was your eyes that captivated me, Cynthia. You weren't exactly cockeyed, but you were the only one who could watch a ping-pong game without moving your head. Cynthia, if only you didn't have such big ears. It was hard to tell whether you were born here or grounded by bad weather. Grounded by bad weather. Boing! Big economy size, Cynthia. Remember that Christmas that you hung up your stocking with a note asking Santa to fill it? He did, but in order to do it, he had to leave two of his reindeer in it. He had to leave two of his reindeer in it. I put my riders in that stocking, too. No breathing space. Simple, simple, unaffected Cynthia. Remember when I bought you that pair of earrings? You put one on your nose and you threw the other one away? You shouldn't have thrown it away. You should have put it in your other nose. Yes, my Cynthia had two noses. Two! One for each tooth. But you didn't need any more, Cynthia, because you had that certain indefinable something. That's what, ha-ha, you got, ha-ha, everything. Every week you stop playing just when I'm dancing. That was Santa Claus is Coming to Town, played by Ray Block and the Philharmonic Orchestra. And Ray, may I say that each week you get better. Last week you were nothing, and this week you're better than nothing. You better get better than nothing, because if you have nothing better than nothing, it'll be better if there's nothing, and you'll get nothing. I wish I had a good joke. That was nothing.
All right, that's the first portion of the Milton Berle Show, December 23rd, 1947. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes, but first these words. Welcome back, WGN Radio Theater. I am your host, Carl Amari. Who are you?
I am your co-host, Lisa Wolf.
All right.
All right.
So let's talk about the Cat's Pride drawing so people know that two people are winning in January. Two.
Well, we won't be having the drawing the end of December because we won't be here next weekend, and we're so sorry. That's just the way it is. So
Lisa wanted off.
No, I did, but fortunately for me,
yeah, we won't be back till January 1st.
January 1st, we will be back. But since we won't be here the end of December, we are going to have two winners the end of January. So make sure to send your photos in of your cat and send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Make sure to put your cat's name, your name, your city and state. And then we will have Dan Jaffe, president of Cat's Pride, here to draw two lucky winners to win an entire year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is a very valuable gift for anybody who owns a cat, because we know kitty litter is expensive and they go through it pretty quickly. So that's a great prize. So we know that Cat's Pride is the premier kitty litter on the market, so we're so happy to share this product with you.
Yeah, so definitely get in your picture and send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, end of January we will pick two names, so we'll keep you posted.
Yep. Okay, it's time for the conclusion now of the Milton Berle Show. Let's go back to December 23rd, 1947, for a salute to Christmas.
And now as we continue our salute to Christmas, we present...
Christmas Forum tonight. Christmas Forum tonight. The question, will Santa Claus ever be replaced by General Myers?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Thank you. Now, let us have questions from the audience. Let's start with this gentleman down here wearing a Holivar Mackinaw. Yes, sir?
Mr. Berle, I represent a group of listeners who would like to come to your home Christmas morning to hang something on your tree.
You'd like to hang something on my tree?
Yes, you.
Thank you. Take it up with the branch office. Let us go on. All right, this young man with the bare midriff and the basket of bananas on his head. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Cocker Spaniel.
Your parents named you Cocker Spaniel?
Yes, they wanted a dog.
Oh, I see.
I got the coldest nose in my family.
I can understand that.
If you want to be my friend, let's not discuss the whole thing.
Don't discuss it?
No, just give me a bone and pat me on the belly.
I'll do that.
Everybody makes fun of me. My girlfriend is the only one who understands me.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Lassie.
All right, fella. You have a question that has to do with Christmas gifts?
Why, you giving something away all of a sudden?
No, but I...
That I'd like to see before I die. You giving someone a present.
Now, wait a minute.
You wouldn't give anybody the lint off your union suit.
Now, listen.
Why is your heart as soft as your head? You're so cheap, the only tip you ever left was on a bad asparagus.
Look, you don't...
You're such a miser, people don't know that big pot is really a money belt.
Please.
Ah, shut up, you fat old piker.
Please. Let us control ourselves. Let's hear from the ladies in the audience. All right, this lady in the aisle burping her baby. What is your name, madam?
Tallulah Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question concerning Christmas gifts?
Yeah. How can I stop my husband from buying me them corny gifts? His taste is all in his feet.
Your husband buys you the wrong gifts?
Last Christmas, he got me perfume. Mm-hmm. You heard of Chanel No. 5?
Yes.
Me Schlemiel No. 1.
That's awful.
Once he bought a perfume that was like dishwater right out of the sink.
Sink?
It sure did.
I see what you mean.
I told him he should buy something for the house. There's lots of little things you can get in the kitchen.
Little things in the kitchen?
Yeah, he come home with an exterminator.
I understand.
What ideas he gets for gifts. This Christmas he said he was going to get me a trombone.
A trombone? Mrs. Feeney, what can you do with a trombone?
I'm afraid to ask him.
I don't blame you.
I'm fed up. Every Christmas he plays Santa Claus. He goes out shopping in the morning and at night he comes home loaded.
It's all on his back?
It's all on his breath.
Thank you, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you, brother. And now, as a climax to our Christmas forum, through the courtesy of the post office, we present that famous mailman, Jim Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Merrill. Thank you for this glorious tribute to us mailmen who unflinchingly trudge our appointed rounds through sleet, through snow, and around Christmas we go through hail for you.
Tell us, Mr. Featherfield.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way here, I picked up a piece of mistletoe. I think I strained myself.
Mistletoe isn't heavy.
Well, this one had two people under it.
Mr. Featherfield, you have quite a record. You've never delivered a wrong letter, and you've walked your rounds for 25 years. Those are tremendous feats.
You should see them with my shoes off. They call me the life of the dead letter
office. I see. Mr. Featherfield, I understand a great complaint by mailmen is that they're always being attacked by dogs.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
My left leg has more teeth marks in it than a piece of waxed fruit.
It's dreadful.
Oh, I don't mind the dogs chewing on my legs, Mr. Burrell.
You don't?
No, but when they're through, they drag me away and bury me in the backyard.
Oh, no.
Sometimes I'm buried for as long as 3 days before the dogs remember where they put me.
You poor mailman. Those heavy bags that you have to carry on your back all day long. Mr. Featherfield, you must go around with a stoop.
I did for a while, and then I married her.
Does your wife help you in your work?
Mr. Burrell, all day long when I'm walking my route, my wife is right behind me.
Right behind you?
She's holding the leash.
Thank you, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Well, now here's Dick Farney singing a song that today is everybody's favorite.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
In Washington, since they published that list of grain speculators, they're all dreaming of a wheat Christmas. A wheat Christmas. You think I'm not nervous? Once they start investigating who's got all the corn, goodbye, Milton. Think I'm kidding? Mr. Gallup, what trouble I had buying my wife's Christmas gift.
You did?
That's clever. I did, Mr. Gallup. For months, my wife had been raving about a little chinchilla muff with a sheared beaver pom-pom on it that she'd seen in the department store. So I went down to the department store. Clerk, it's this muff right here.
Oh, Mr. Burl, it's lovely.
It is warm. Looks cute, too. It's so cuddly.
Adorable, Mr. Burl. Simply adorable.
I'll take it.
Good.
Now, how about getting something for your wife?
This is for my wife.
Oh.
Did you say $42?
Yes.
Well, here's 10, 11. Oh, no. It's Sam Harrison and his wife, Martha.
Milty, the minute I saw you, I said, that man there at the fur counter can't be Milton Berle. He's spending money. That's just what I said, isn't it, Martha?
Yes.
Hello, Sam. Hello, Martha. I'm just buying this...
Stop! No friend of mine has to pay retail prices. I can get it for you wholesale. Can't I, Martha?
Yes.
Sam, do me a favor. Don't bother. It's just a little chinchilla muff.
Okay, if you want to throw your money away. Look at Martha. Would you believe that every stitch of clothes she has on cost practically nothing?
Yes.
Sam, there's just a few more shopping days
That's
left.
That's why I'm taking you right up to see my friend Oscar Entwistle, a wholesale furrier.
Sam, don't bother.
Bother? I love it. I'm so busy out doing favors for people, I'm hardly ever home with Martha. Isn't that right, Martha?
Yes.
Well, okay, if I can save a few dollars, then that's... Sam. Sam, where are you leading to me? It's pitch dark in here.
Oscar's place is down this hallway.
That's what you said when we went through that Chinese restaurant. We've been groping around for a half an hour.
Wait, here's something. Oop! Is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Here's the place, Sam. It says Oscar Entwistle. If it grows hair, we got it. Sam, I don't even know the man. And I feel...
Oscar would be insulted if I didn't bring you. Why, he's my best friend. Any friend of mine is a friend of Oscar's. Let's go in.
Well, if he's a good friend of yours...
Shh! Here comes Oscar. Watch his face light up when he sees me. Oscar!
Who are you?
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, you were at my house last New Year's Eve. You passed out, remember?
Yeah, that's the night I got rolled.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar, look who's with me, Milton Berle.
I heard his program.
Sam, let's go.
Oscar. Oscar, Milty wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver pom-pom.
Oh, he just wants to buy a little chinchilla muff.
With a sheared beaver, Sam, let's go.
Wait, you're lucky. I got just one left, only $6.
Only $6?
Shut up!
Yeah.
It's part of an ensemble. With a muff, you got to take the beaver booties, beaver earlaps, a beaver sweatshirt, and a beaver tail radiator cap. $300.
$300, Sam, let's go.
Milty, Oscar is saving you a fortune. It's wholesale.
Well, okay, if it's such a bargain, I'll take it. You said the price was $300?
Only if you take the coat that goes with it. That's $600.
$600?
Shut up!
Yeah.
Milty, a beaver coat for only $600. Take it!
Well, I don't know. Tell me, is it real beaver?
Real beaver? We got to keep these coats tied down or they'd be building dams all over the place.
Real beaver coat, eh? Okay, I'll take
Shut
it.
Shut up!
Yeah.
You came in here to buy a muff, right?
Yes, I did.
Look, for the $600 you're willing to spend, I can make you up a nice mink muff.
A mink muff? But I don't...
Shut up!
Yeah.
I'll look in the stock room and see if we got enough minks to make up a muff. You're a lucky man. We got two left.
Sam, let's go.
Now look, mister. How is it gonna look? Your wife and a mink muff and no mink coat to go with it.
A mink, Sam, let's go.
I'll give you a mink coat for $5,000 and we'll sew in any label you want.
$5,000?
Milty, your wife should have a mink coat.
Sam.
A woman who's married to a man in your position should look smart.
Sam.
After all, Milty, people know you to be generous, kind, lovable.
Sam.
You're suave, romantic, debonair.
Oh, Sam.
You're a fearless two-fisted fighter for the right. Sam. Get underneath, beat a heart that's warm and sympathetic.
Oh, Sam, you're terrible.
Oscar, Milty is taking the mink coat.
I am?
Yes.
But all I wanted was...
Shut up!
All right.
Here's the bill. $60,000.
$60,000? But you just said $5,000.
This is a wholesale house. We only sell by the dozen.
A dozen? All I wanted was a little pom-pom chinchilla with a... Is this the Harrisons?
Yes.
Oh, is that you, Martha?
Yes.
Is Sam there?
Yes.
Can I speak to him?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, that Martha. Talk, 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 talk. Windbag.
Hello, Milton.
Sam, I just called to tell you I got the loan from the bank, mortgaged the house, got my wife a job, and we made the first payment on the 12 mink coats.
Good.
I sold 11 of the coats, only lost $40,000 on the whole deal.
That's business, Milton.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll be seeing you. Oh, wait, Sam. I called you up especially to ask you to do something.
Oh, what is it?
Funny, I can't seem to remember. Oh, now I remember.
What do you want me to do, Milty?
Drop dead. Thank you very much. Well, that about winds it up for tonight. I'd like to wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. I know the wonderful people who are with me here each week feel the same way. How about you, Dick Farney?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Swell. And how about you, Ray Block?
Merry Christmas, Mr. Petrillo.
And Mrs. Feeney?
Merry Christmas, folks, from me and my husband, Brentwood.
Thank you. And how about you, the young man with the mistletoe hanging from his nose? Would you like to...
Leave me alone, will you? The show is over.
Yeah, but I...
Will you stop flapping those big lips and let me get a word in?
But all I
want to say Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. How about you, Mr. Featherfield?
Thank you for this golden opportunity.
Mr. Featherfield, well, they just say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And Mr. Finster?
I just want to say the best of all the clothes to all our faith fulfillment and Merry Christmas.
Well, that about takes care of everybody. Merry Christmas!
The Milton Berle Show was written by Matt Hyken and Aaron Rubin, and Mr. Frank Gallup saying good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is the Milton Berle Show from Christmas Eve, December 23rd, 1947. With a salute to Christmas in that cast, Alan Reed, good old Fred Flintstone right there, and also Al Kelly and Ray Block and his orchestra, and Frank Gallup doing the announcing. He used to gallop into the sunset, I think, after the show. The show would be over, and he'd just gallop.
That's what we should do.
What?
Gallop off into the sunset.
Well, when we're done in another hour and 10 minutes, we won't have a show until January 1st.
I know. It's bothering you, right?
Yeah. I like coming here every weekend and playing six classic radio shows.
And teasing me.
You know what? You can sign up for the free radioclassics.com. It'll hold you over at least. You'll get show every Monday until we're back.
But we will be on Facebook, so we hope that you'll still, post
Lisa will
and
send
talk
pictures
to us
of herself on the beach.
I will.
Right? Drinking tea martinis.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 141 in the series, right, Lisa?
Right, Carl.
All right, in this hour, Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae. In the Christmas present from Christmas Eve 1950. That is, that's what's up. Coming up this hour, brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as the voice of Mary in the upcoming TV series Imaginary Mary, about a single woman whose imaginary friend from childhood pops back into her life.
What does she win, or he?
He or she will win a Chicago Holiday Classics DVD presented by the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
I'm Hard Rock, I'm Coco, I'm Joe.
Susie Snowflake, Frosty the Snowman, all digitally remastered.
You're a snowflake. You're Susie Snowflake, and I'm Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
You're all of them?
Yeah, I'm all three of them.
That's a trick.
I have split personality.
Well, that I know.
I'm like a Sybil.
That I know.
Okay. Tales of the Texas Rangers in this hour, but we're playing a celebrity scoop, and that's what they win. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. She was Debbie Downer.
We should go out sometime and have some laughs.
Sure, sounds fun.
Warning, I can't have children.
Wah, 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 wah. Who is that actress? 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. This is Celebrity Scoop.
And we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
We should go out sometime and have some laughs.
Sure, sounds fun.
Warning, I can't have children.
We're going to talk to Barry from Wheaton. Hi, Barry.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Who's Debbie Downer?
Debbie Downer is Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch is exactly right. You're a winner. You've won the Chicago Holiday Classics DVD. It is presented by the Museum of Broadcast Communication, featuring who, Carl?
All right, Coco Joe.
Perfect. Susie Snowflake and Frosty the Snowman, all digitally remastered. Get your copy at museum.tv. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate your listening to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, man. It's time now for what? Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. We have a good episode for you now. And here's a little history. It was a modern Western detective series. And like its predecessor, Dragnet, Tales of the Texas Rangers adapted actual police case files. And the main Texas Ranger that we followed each week was Texas Ranger Jace Pearson, portrayed by movie star Joel McRae. And as I say, this was a present-day series. This was not set in the Old West. It was set, like, in the 50s when the show aired. And they used the latest scientific techniques to identify criminals. And it was produced and directed by Stacy Keach Sr. So our pal Stacy's dad created this show. It ran from 1950 to 1952. This is their Christmas show from Christmas Eve 1950. It's called The Christmas Present. Here's part one now of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Christmas Present.
It is 2 p.m. December 21st, 4 days before Christmas in the Depression year of 1931. On a city street corner in North Texas, a man dressed as Santa Claus suddenly leaves his post beside a large red pot labeled Help the Poor. Shivering with cold, he enters the newly opened building of the Panhandle Equity Bank and approaches the bank guard.
Say, mister, you mind if I stay in here a few minutes, warm up a little?
I sure don't. I've been watching you through the window. Don't know how you stood it as long as you did.
Oh, this Santa Claus outfit's pretty warm at first, but then the cold sort of creeps in on you.
How long do they expect you to stand out in that?
Oh, 8 to 2. 6 hours, that's all.
Well, it's 2 o'clock right now. You can go home.
Not till my relief man shows up, I can't. Can't leave till he gets here. Some money in the pot out there.
Oh. Well, why don't you wait right in here till you see him?
I was hoping you'd say that, because I'm sure... Oh, there he is now. Just drove up in a car.
Oh, he can't leave a car parked there in front of the bank. There's a time limit on parking.
Well, I think he's just wondering why I'm not there. I better go out and... Oh, he sees me. He's coming in.
Howdy.
Howdy. Was wondering when you get here. God let me come in and warm up.
I hope your Santa Claus suit is warmer than his. We'll be closed up by the time you need warming.
I don't think I'll get very cold. I got a cool 45 in my pocket pointed right for your belly. Now, don't move.
Don't move, he said. Keep your hand away from your gun.
You guys are pulling the stick up.
No kidding. You figured that all out by yourself, stupid?
Let's make it a nice, quiet stick up, huh? Just walk to the rear of the bank with us. Take us through the door to the money in the vault. Now, go on.
You'll never get away with this.
You just trying to attract any attention. You'll never live to know whether we're doing that.
All right. Open that door.
The girl by the desk has to open it. It's button control.
Well, tell her you won't end.
Miss Keene.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lovett. Your Santa Claus friend's coming in with you?
Yeah.
We're so busy, I didn't even notice that. Something wrong, Mr. Lovett? You look kind of sick.
You'd be more than sick if you let out one yell.
They got guns in their pockets, Miss Keene.
Watch your mouth, sister. Nobody else can see us now. Take his gun.
I've got it.
Now, sister, whether he lives or not is up to you, understand?
What do you want me to do?
Open the cage of those money trays. Get to it.
All right.
You got the sack. Tell her what to put in it. Stuff it into your jacket when you're through.
All right.
And remember, sis, one yap and this jerk gets it.
All right, go on. Come on, I step in the sack.
What are you going to do when you leave?
Come on, fast.
What do you mean? We'll give you a chance to get away. I mean, we won't yell or anything until you're gone. Honest.
Oh, yeah, that's real nice of you. Maybe you ought to be wearing the Santa Claus suit instead of me. You think I'm going to fall for a... Hurry up, will you? One of the bank executives is heading back here.
All right, I'm almost through. As soon as I get it in my...
Hey, what are you doing back here, Lovett? Why aren't you out front?
These Santa Claus fellas, Mr. Peabody, just wanted to...
Well, what's the other one doing in the vault there? Miss Keene, what the...
Oh. You can answer this question later, when and if he comes to. Congratulations on your self-control. You're liable to get medals for saving your own lives.
All right, let's go. I got it.
All right, let's leave these people the quiet way.
A statewide alarm was put out to all law enforcement agencies in a matter of minutes, but the perpetrators of the Santa Claus stick-up had vanished. Texas Ranger Jace Pearson, closest unit to the scene of the crime, was requested to investigate.
The chief police gave me the general details. I'd like to get your story firsthand.
Well, I saw the guard take them through there, Ranger, and I went back to see why he was leaving his post on the bank floor, and that's when I got hit.
You have any idea how big they were?
No, I don't. I was too excited.
I see. What's your name?
Leon Peabody. I'm second vice president.
How about the girl, Miss Keene, and the guard, Lovett?
Both of them were knocked out, too. Miss Keene finally came to and we sent her home, but they took Lovett to the hospital. He wasn't in good shape.
Skull fracture?
They don't know.
How come you stayed around? That's a nasty bump you've got.
I feel it, too. Plenty. Ooh. But I knew the police would need whatever information there is, so I stayed.
Yeah, you better sit down.
Oh, thanks.
You think you could recognize either of the holdup men?
Dressed the way they were? I'm afraid not.
It's a cinch they chucked those Santa Claus suits right after they left here. I hope they left a few fingerprints.
Yeah, both of them were wearing gloves.
You get a tally on how much they made off with?
We're running a tape on it. We'll know in a couple of minutes.
Men who pulled this job worked pretty smoothly. They seem to know the setup behind the partitions there. Have any of your employees ever been in any trouble?
Those men weren't employees of the bank.
I know they weren't. But somebody inside could have supplied them with your new layout. Helped them plan the job.
Well, sir, all of our employees have been with us for at least a year, and we haven't taken on any new ones since we moved over here 2 months ago.
Mr. Peabody.
Oh, yes, Donnelly. Is that the rundown?
Yes, sir. 63,800. And we've got serial numbers on some of the larger bills.
Good. That'll help if they try to pass any. I'll take a copy of that list. Police can alert the other banks and merchants. We'll get numbers out on the statewide and interstate.
We may run down some more serial numbers when we cross-check deposits.
That'll be fine. I think you ought to go home now, Mr. Peabody. We can reach you there if you're needed.
Oh, thank you. I guess I shouldn't even think about myself, though. I'm a bachelor, but the guard Lovett, he's got a wife and 3 children. Yeah, pretty rotten Christmas present for them if he doesn't pull through.
I paid a call on Miss Keene, the girl who'd been slugged, but she was in a state of shock and hysteria. By nightfall, all possible angles had been checked, and we still didn't have a lead. My boss, Ranger Captain Stinson, flew in, and I met him at the airport and drove him to town.
You talked to all the welfare agencies that have Santa Clauses stationed on the streets?
Yeah, and every man they have checked out clean. It was a phony setup, Captain, even though one of the bandits spent the whole day right out in the corner outside the bank.
Well, that was smart. Got the bank guard used to seeing him.
Yeah. City police are checking to see if they can find out where the suits came from and who got them.
Good idea. How's the bank guard doing?
Lovett? I checked the hospital. He's still out. No fracture, but they can't bring him around. He may have...
KTXA to Unit 10.
That's yours, Jason.
Yeah. Unit 10. Go ahead, KTXA.
City police report stolen car found in alley off Crockett Street between Maple and Lolly. Maybe car used in Panhandle Equity Bank robbery. Police chief requests your assistance.
10-4. Proceeding there immediately.
10-4.
Unit 10, clear.
KDXA, Austin.
We better get there fast. This may be the break we need.
Hello?
Rangers abandoned in the alley. Prowl car spot didn't check the license on the stolen car list.
When was it reported stolen, Chief?
Early this morning, but the owner says it might have been missing since yesterday. He's been away.
You check on him?
Yep, he's clear. It's where he said he was.
What makes you fellas think this is the car?
Found this on the floor, under the seat. Big red button.
Off a Santa suit, all right. I'm going to climb in behind the wheel for a second. Ask one of the men in the prowl car to flash his light this way.
Sure. Let's have a spotlight here, will you, boys?
Okay, Chief.
That do, Ranger?
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, have any of your men moved this rear vision mirror, Chief?
Nope.
How about this front seat? You slide it back to get that button you found?
No, just saw it under there and reached in and got it.
What are you trying to figure, Jace?
The last fellow who drove this car was pretty big. About an inch or inch and a half taller than I am.
What makes you think so?
Because the seat's all the way back where it would be for a tall driver. And I have to raise myself a bit to get a clear view through the rear vision mirror.
Hey, that's good thinking, Jace.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't touch anything. Maybe he left the car just like it was when he stole it.
I'll give odds against that. A man who's getting away from a bank stick-up wants to know what's coming behind him. All roads out of the city had been under watch since the report of the robbery, so the men we were after figured to be close by. But all we knew was that one of them was about 6'3". In the morning, we made a routine check with police headquarters.
Morning, Rangers.
Morning, Chief.
Morning, Chief. Your men come across anything?
I'm just going to check through this report. Tells us the location of just about every Santa Claus suit in town. All of them belong to organizations, use them for their Christmas parties. Because once in a while, they let some private individual borrow them for a kid party or something, as if they put up deposit money.
You got a list of the places that have loaned suits out and who got them?
That top paper. I was just starting to check it. Look, if you like.
Thanks.
Looks like we might be adding a murder charge to the armed robbery, Captain.
The bank guard dead?
Not yet, but it looks bad. They're operating for a blood clot on the brain.
Wait a minute.
What is it, Jace?
I think we've got a boy to talk to. Look at this list. Two suits borrowed from two different organizations, but both borrowed by the same man, Anthony Ross, 124 Petagrosa Street.
Say, that's worth looking into, Jace. Come on. Let's pick him up.
The home of Anthony Ross at 124 Petagrosa Street turned out to be a rundown shack on the outskirts of town. A small boy and girl, not dressed well enough against the cold, stopped playing with a mongrel dog as we drove up. They stared at us while we went up the rickety porch, the dog barking at our heels.
It's all right, boy. It's all right. Take it easy. Good pup. There's a good... Yeah, what... Oh, Texas Rangers.
You Anthony Ross?
Yeah. We'd like to come in.
Oh, sure. Annie, you and Jim take the dog in the back of the house and play there.
Look at those suit boxes, Jace.
Yeah, I see them.
That's the first portion of Tales of the Texas Rangers, December 24th, 1950, with a Christmas present. More coming your way after these words. Thank you, Esmeralda. Merry Christmas to you, Esmeralda.
Same to you.
Thank you very much. I won't see you till January 1st. We're off. Are you off, too, or are you going to be around?
I'm not. I'll be working.
Okay,
I'll be working
well,
all throughout, doing some fill-ins as well. So,
well, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Who are you filling in for, Esmeralda? I'll be filling in, I know, for Nick on Friday morning.
Oh, great.
Friday morning, and
then
next week
I'll
be filling in for Patty.
All right. Very nice. Well, thank you, and have a wonderful Christmas, and have a happy New Year, too, because we'll see on New Year's Day. We'll be back here. They're giving us a couple of weeks off, Lisa.
Whether we want it or not.
They probably figure we need it.
You take a week off.
Yeah, you know what? Just you take a couple weeks off, Carl and Lisa.
You come back in March.
Yeah, no. Come back all refreshed.
We'll be back.
All right. So, Tales of the Texas Rangers. This is called The Christmas Present, December 24th, 1950. Here's the conclusion now of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
What do you want to see me about?
We can start with those boxes on the table. What's in them?
I don't know. Just a couple of packages. That's all. They ain't mine.
You better open them up, Jase.
Yeah.
No. Wait a minute. I tell you, they ain't mine. You got no right to...
This search warrant says we have.
Search warrant? Now, look. Now, those things ain't stolen. They were rented.
A couple of Santa suits, all right, Captain. And look, a button missing from the jacket of this one.
I don't know what this is all about. Why are you coming...
Maybe we can refresh your memory. The guard you slugged at the Panhandle Equity Bank isn't expected to live.
What?
Who was wearing the other suit, Ross? Who was your partner?
What are you guys doing to me? I don't know what you're talking about.
We're talking about the $63,000 stick-up you and somebody else pulled yesterday. And since you're about 5'10", I can tell you that your partner's about 6'3".
Ranges, you're making a mistake. I don't even know anything about a holdup.
The button missing from this suit was found in your getaway car, the one your partner drove.
It wasn't me. I tell you, I didn't even know what kind of costumes were in them boxes. They ain't mine.
And where'd you get them?
I picked them up at a couple of places yesterday morning.
You say you picked them up, and you're trying to tell us you don't know what's in the boxes.
I picked them up for somebody else.
They were rented out in your name.
The woman ordered them in my name.
What woman?
The one who hired me to pick them up.
That's a pretty phony story, Ross. Who was this woman you're talking about? What's her name?
I don't know. I don't even know.
You better come with us, Ross.
No. You got to listen to me. Please listen. You got to believe me. I was in town early yesterday morning. She come right up to me on the street. I was pulling my kid's old wagon along, trying to find some junk I might sell.
You sure you don't want to think this story over before you go any further?
She asked me if I wanted to earn a dollar running a couple of errands. I said, sure. A buck would give my kids a meal for a change. She asked me my name and address, and I told her, and then she told me to wait while... Or she went into a booth and made some phone calls. When she come out, she sent me to two different clubs, told me that'd be costumes and packages. She had them left in my name to avoid confusion, she said.
You didn't think that was funny?
Mister, all I could think about was earning that dollar. She gave me money, deposit money for the costumes, and told me to come back and meet her with the stuff on that same corner.
Where were you at 2:00 yesterday afternoon?
I was looking around for a junk again for a couple hours after I delivered the packages, and I guess at 2:00 I was walking back home from town.
It's a long walk to here in this weather.
Cost of a bus ride will buy a loaf of bread for the kids you saw outside. Is that a crime? What's it to you if I walk my feet off to feed my kids?
All right, Ross. That was a nice act. But there's a big hole in it. You say you delivered the Santa Claus suits to a woman you didn't know. But you've still got them.
Yeah, I got them. They're going to mean a good Christmas. Yeah, but you're not going to believe what I tell you. The woman came here last night, drove up in a car, woke me up. She said she was leaving town in a hurry. It didn't have time to take the costumes back herself And if I take them back, I could keep the deposits. $15 each. Yeah, but you're not going to believe that, are you?
You better get your coat.
Will you give me a chance to ask one of the neighbors to watch out for my kids?
I'm afraid you'll be gone too long for that. I'm sorry, but we'll have to take him into the juvenile home.
Oh. I guess they'll get better care there than I've been able to give them. I'll get my coat.
Ross, you been doing any painting around here?
Painting? This place look like it ever saw paint.
What made you ask that, Jase?
I just noticed this inside the leg of this Santa Claus suit. Paint blob. Looks fresh.
Well, how come it's inside the leg, not outside?
I don't know. That's something we'll have to figure. This is the large size suit. Must have been worn by the big boy we're looking for. The captain and I did a job we hated, dropping the Ross kids off at the juvenile home. Sometimes it's the only thing to do. They cried for their father. always makes something inside you cry a little with him. We took Ross to the jail and locked him up.
Well, that seems to be it, Rangers. By the time he comes up for trial, he should be ready to name his accomplice. That is, if we don't find him before then.
I'd go along with that, Chief, if we'd found any money on him or in the house, even a few dollars.
Kids got under your skin, huh, Jason?
They got under yours, too, Captain. You know it.
Yeah, but we gotta remember, that bank guard has kids, too.
You got any late reports on him from the hospital?
Man stationed there says the operation is over. Don't know how it's gonna come out yet, though.
You might as well go over there and check with the doctors, Jace. I gotta get back to company headquarters.
Do me a favor, then. You're heading toward Austin. Take the Santa outfits with you and have them sent on to the lab. Get an analysis of that paint in the trousers. Maybe some traces in the boots, too.
Well, how come the boots?
They're made to go on over regular shoes. I figured that paint stain on the inside of the pants came from a blob of paint on the shoe of the man who put them on.
I see. All right, Jace, you want to know the content of the paint and see if lab can run down the source, is that it?
Yeah.
You working up to some kind of a lead?
Maybe. A few things I'm trying to fit together. Maybe they won't fit. If they do, though, you'll hear from me. I went over to the hospital and checked with the doctors, but the outcome was still in doubt. The guard's wife was there, face twisted with worry and fear. There was nothing I could do to help, so I got some sleep. Then in the morning, I went back to see the police chief.
Oh, Ranger, I'm glad you dropped in. I just had a long-distance call from your lab headquarters at Austin. Report on that paint.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I wrote it all down. Paint is manufactured right here in town. Brand name is Light Glow.
Light Glow, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a list of local painting contractors who use it?
Well, I reckon just about all of them do. It's good paint, and this wouldn't hardly be Texas if we didn't deal with a local outfit, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Thanks a lot. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Over to the Panhandle Equity Bank. Mr. Peabody, do you know who painted this bank before you opened?
Well, there was a contract for the building, included the painting. I guess that was done on a subcontract.
Can you find out from the contractor?
Sure, but you mind my asking why?
I told you the day of the robbery. Everything was too well planned. Like the men who did it knew the inside of the bank.
Yes, I remember you saying that. You think the painters may have?
That's what I think.
But why not some of the construction men?
I've got a reason for being interested in painters. Check it for me, will you? He checked. Contractor gave the name of the painters. Two men, Eddie West and Martin Poggin. They'd been working the day of the robbery, he said, at a house on the north side of town. I went out to the house to see the owner.
Why, yes, Ranger. They worked here all day that day. I remember we heard the report of the robbery on the radio.
They were both here all day?
Yes.
Didn't even go out to eat?
Had their lunches with them.
Kind of smelly when the house gets painted. Most women usually get out of the way.
I wanted to watch them, so I was here every minute to see they didn't get sloppy. I like things neat.
I see. Well, thanks, ma'am. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Why are you asking about them, Ranger?
Nothing important. Not as long as you say they were here. Goodbye, ma'am. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, the same to you, Ranger. Merry Christmas.
She was the alibi for Eddie West and Martin Poggin. But she was too nervous about answering a few simple questions. Nervous enough to make me wonder. I went back to the jail, got Anthony Ross out in my custody, and drove him to the north side of town. All right, get out, Ross. We're going in here for a minute.
Why? What are you trying to frame now?
I just want you to meet somebody.
Well, back again, Ranger. I thought we'd...
That's her. Ranger, that's the woman...
Who is he? Who is this man?
You ought to remember me, lady. My kids are in juvenile home on account of you, and I've been in jail.
I never saw you before in my whole life.
Tell him the truth. Tell him before I...
Hold it, Ross.
Take him away from here. Go away, both of you.
Ranger, I got those costumes for her. For her!
You're a liar, a liar!
That word fits somebody, all right. Can I come in and have a look around, ma'am?
What for? What do you want?
I want to check over the painting job to see if it's just new painting or if there's some new plaster under it someplace.
You can't come in. You have no right.
The boys you're alibiing for must have come back here after they cracked the bank, because you must have picked them up in your car after they ditched the one they're using.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wouldn't carry the money on them. Did they cover it up here, safe under fresh plaster and paint until it cools
off? No!
I can call for a search warrant and wait till a crew comes and tears this place apart. It'll go better for you if you don't try to cover.
The money isn't here.
Well, come on, come on. Where is it?
It's here, all right. In that wall. Behind the picture.
Come on, Ross. Which one's your boyfriend? Hogan or West?
Eddie. West. He said we'd get married. Go to Europe next year.
You'll all go someplace next year, but it won't be Europe. West about 6'3"?
Yes. How did you know?
I got an early Christmas present. Somebody sent me a crystal ball. As soon as I call the police and dig out that bank money, you're coming with us.
Ranger, I'm clear now, ain't I?
Looks that way, Ross, but you'll have to go back to jail for a while and be checked out by the local police. That won't take any longer than it'll take me to pick up Eddie West and Martin Poggin. I made my call, then took West's girlfriend and Anthony Ross back to jail. Poggin and West were playing it smart, working right up to Christmas Eve like a couple of house painters would be doing. I found out where they were working, a loft of a warehouse. Local police covered the building while I went in.
Eddie, who's that? Who came in?
Probably the watchman. Watch out for those paint cans.
Don't worry. I see them.
It ain't the watchman's voice, Eddie.
Come out of the shadows where we can see you.
I'm coming. But seeing me isn't going to make you happy.
Eddie, it's a Texas Ranger.
Shut up, Hogan. I got my gun. Harley, Ranger. Something you want?
Yeah. I want the two men who robbed the Panhandle Equity Bank.
Eddie.
Shut up. What would we know about that, Ranger?
Come down off that scaffold and I'll tell you.
Okay. Marty Lowway.
Too bad you aren't working in a place with a phone. Your girlfriend could have warned you earlier.
Eddie, he knows.
I'll get him.
Keep your hands away.
I'm hurt. I'm bleeding.
I just nicked you when you tried to dig for that gun in your pocket. You're not hurt.
We didn't do nothing, Ranger.
Somebody should have told you that the real Santa Claus gives. He doesn't take. Get up and try this present I've got for you. A pair of handcuffs.
Well, that winds it up for sure, Ranger. Didn't turn out too bad either. Just hurt from the hospital. Guard past the crisis. He's going to be all right.
You couldn't have better news, Chief. Just in time, too. It's getting dark. Christmas Eve. You let Anthony Ross go?
Mm-hmm. About 10 minutes ago. He didn't seem too happy, though. Just like he didn't care. What with his kids in the juvenile home and everything. Judge mightn't even release him if he can't care for him.
Ross didn't have a dime. Not even bus fare. It'd take him a couple hours to walk home.
Oh, why didn't I think?
Well, maybe it's just as well that way. Let me call the judge and Mr. Peabody, the bank vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Stores will be open late, won't they?
Sure. Why?
It'll take Ross a long time to get to his house. Maybe we can get some of your boys to help us and change his mind about Christmas. There's Ross. You hear him coming up the walk now?
Mm-hmm. Coming slow. His tail is dragging.
Yeah.
Not that I blame you.
Are the kids asleep?
Yeah. All bundled up in them new blankets.
Shh. What? Ranger. And the chief. The lights. Lights. They're on. The power company turned them off.
Yeah. They sent a man out to turn them on again.
What's all this stuff? Ornaments. Christmas tree. All those toys and things.
Tomorrow's Christmas, Ross. For you and your kids. They're in the bedroom asleep.
My kids. You brought my kids back to me.
Yes, and there's plenty of grub in the kitchen.
And you've got a job. Starting next week at the Panhandle Equity Bank. Just go in and see Mr. Peabody after the holiday. Meanwhile, he sent you a little cash in this envelope. Sort of a Christmas bonus, just like the rest the employees get. We have to be going. Merry Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas, Ross.
Merry Christmas, fellas. Merry Christmas. And God bless you.
Thanks.
God bless you.
On behalf of all of us on Tales of the Texas Rangers, this is Joel McRae wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Frenchie. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Shepard Menken, Jim Nusser, Virginia Gregg, Victor Rodman, and Byron Kane. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
There you have it, Tales of the Texas Rangers, December 24th, 1950, The Christmas Present, starring Joel McRae and produced and directed by Stacy Keach Sr. That's good old Stacy Keach, who played Mike Hammer on television, and he's done a lot of stuff. He's the voice of American Greed, and he's done a ton of...
I did some American Greed with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, he was the host of my series, The Twilight Zone Radio Dramas. And a terrific man. And his dad started in radio. He was a radio producer. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we're here with Nick DiGilio. What's up, Nick? How are you, buddy?
All right.
So, all right. Well, great job in the Christmas play, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Great job.
That was fun.
You were Fred.
I was the nephew of Scrooge.
Great role and terrific job.
Yeah, I was surprised I got cast as a nice guy.
Yeah. Well, there's only like really one bad guy in the whole play, really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's like Fred is the only character that never gets mad at Scrooge.
Right. He's always
forgives him everything. And like,
come over anytime, Uncle, even though you've been a total a-hole to me this whole time.
But he was, was always forgiving of Scrooge. And I'm like, how did I get cast in this role?
Because you're such a nice person.
Oh, yeah.
You are. Got his Cubs hat on. I love him. So what's on the show this morning?
Special night. A new Star Wars movie opened up this weekend.
Yeah.
So Colin and Eric will be live in studio with me.
Great.
They're going to bring their Star Wars toys and collectibles, and we're going to do a video and post it up on the webpage.
Wow.
And we're going to talk.
Somebody bringing in a Death Star?
I believe somebody is bringing in a Death Star.
I might have to hang around for that, then.
And that's going to be a web exclusive, the video. So if you want to see all the cool toys and gadgets they're going to bring down. And we're going to review Rogue One and all the new movies, including La La Land and Collateral Beauty with Will Smith.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Collateral. Yeah, that's right. That's almost like what we did, Christmas Carol, because there's ghosts visiting or something like that.
You'll see.
Right?
Not really.
No.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Eric has.
Yeah.
And he'll review it. Well, but it's not what you think it is.
Okay.
They misadvertised the movie.
Well, he picks good movies. The only movie he's ever picked that I didn't like was Wild Wild West.
I have a difficult time naming three movies I liked with Will Smith.
Oh, really? See, I like his movies. Like, I loved when he did the one with the vampires. I can't remember what
that's. I Am Legend.
Yeah, I love that movie.
I like that movie, too.
That was really good.
That's one of the three.
He was amazing in Ali. Mm-hmm. I thought he played that role great. No, you don't like that movie?
No.
Wow. See, I didn't think there was anybody else could do that role.
Yeah.
Who could